Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And it was a day like any normal day at the office, in my office, working, and it was probably 3 or 4 o'clock, and I was really unmotivated and a little discouraged because I had no idea where the day had gone. I had this ambitious list of projects and important things to get done, and looking at what I had planned to get done, at the end of the day, I realized none of it had happened because I had been putting out fires and answering emails. In fact, I had just got done with an entire list, probably 2 or 3 hours of email. And I started probably at least half of them by saying, apologies for such a late reply right at the beginning, because it had been, I was 5, 6, 7 days late replying to people's emails. It's a really frustrating feeling, and something I experienced a lot as recently as 6 months ago. Fast forward to this last week. Came in the morning, got a lot of things done, was actually able to stick to the most part to the list I had made the night before for things that were really going to move the business forward. Got the end of the day, had a few emails I was able to get to and was able to clear them out quickly because I only had a handful. And at the end of the day, got a great report from my executive assistant on all the things she had taken care of for me that day. It was a massive game changer for my day and also just for my business and life in general. And that's what I'm talking about today is how do you find, hire, and most importantly, train and integrate with an executive assistant? It's something I think a lot of us want to do, aspire to do. I had wanted to do it for a long time, but I thought it would be too difficult or too expensive. And after a couple of failed attempts, finally am at a place where it's been a massive game changer for me personally and also for my ability to get things done. So that's what we're talking about today. Actually, I did this as a breakout session, a co-breakout session with Leticia Burrows at ECF Live. The recording from that, unfortunately, wasn't quite good enough to use for the podcast. So we're going to do another version, abbreviated version here, but really hope you enjoy it. We're going to dive into it right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by the E-Commerce Fuel private community for 7 and 8 figure owners. We have an amazing, vibrant forum where you can connect and get answers to your questions, but probably one of the biggest long-term values is our events, where you can build deep connections with other owners. We have ECF Live, our annual summit, where all of our members and attendees are vetted versus, you know, a lot of e-commerce events where you have zillions of people trying to sell you stuff. We have adventures, great talks, curated dinners. Ecom Camp, which is our annual event for 8-figure store owners and smaller meetups and dinners throughout the year. So if you're looking to connect with people just like you, people in e-commerce, obsessed with their business, who can talk about it for hours, our community is the place to do it. So if that sounds interesting, you can find out more information and apply at ecommercefuel.com. Attention Shopify sellers, say goodbye to annoying design limitations and outdated user interfaces. Now you can customize every inch of your website with the brand new landing page builder inside the Zipify Pages app. Zipify Pages just released their biggest upgrade ever, so now you can drag, drop, or swap any element on practically any page to make your store look and perform exactly the way you want it to. Zipify Pages was created by my friend Ezra Firestone, founder of a $175 million Shopify store, and it's packed with over 70 marketing templates you can use to generate leads, run promos, and scale any brand. And because the templates come from Ezra's own 8 and 9 figure brands, you know they actually work. You can try Zipify Pages and their brand new builder for free for 14 days at zipifypages.com. That's Z-I-P-I-F-Y pages.com. All right. So the first part, of course, in the first step in finding that life-changing, business-changing executive assistant is going to be finding candidates. And you know what? Even before we get into this, when you think about an executive assistant, what should they be doing for you? How should they be helping you? Well, for me, my executive assistant helps with my inbox, helps me send and draft emails, manages my calendar, helps me with small little administrative products, maybe calling the credit card company, dealing with banks. If there's stuff that needs documents that need to be signed and reviewed, she will template those up for me, fill them out for me, and get everything ready for me to just approve them and put my signature on it. If I have a lot of spreadsheet work or something, like I was just getting ready to hire a bunch of, I'm looking for a branding agency for E-Commerce Fuel because we're doing a rebrand. So I had her do research on branding agencies, find their portfolios and their contact details for the key people there. So all of those things, anything that is not critical to what you are doing and what is really something that you should be doing, you can have a great executive assistant come in and help you with that. They can also help to some degree with personal things. Like they shouldn't be doing most of your personal stuff if this is a business hire, but there's little things that are integrated that are you know, that kind of blend and cross the line between those two things. And so they book flights for me. They help with gifts. They do a lot of those kind of things. And so that's the role of an EA and what they're doing in my life, as we'll talk about more in a minute here. So how do you find candidates? I'm going to go through the whole process of finding candidates, interviewing, training, and bringing on board. Lots of places you can look, a couple spots to potentially think about as jump off points. There's a company called Athena that focuses on executive assistance in the Philippines. A company called Hire with Near focuses on talent in Latin America, not just EA specific, but Latin America. And I wanted to get someone that my EA that I work with now, she's based out of Mexico City. And it was important for me to find someone in Latin America, largely because of the time zone. I've worked with people in the Philippines in the past, have someone on my team from the Philippines. We've been working together 15 years. It works great. But she is legitimately a night owl. She, even if we wouldn't work together, or when we don't, she still is up late. And I wanted someone who was on the same time zone for collaboration and also for potentially travel if we were going to go back and forth ever. There's a company called execviva.com. They hire, they're probably the most specific and most focused on executive assistants in Latin America. That's how I found my executive assistant. And then onlinejobs.ph is not EA focused, but it's just a place to go find potentially good talent in the Philippines. So lots of options for where to look. If you haven't figured it out already, I'm focused more on outside of the domestic United States talent. You can hire someone in the United States for sure, but I think you're probably going to be able to find someone who is close to as good, if not as good, for probably half the price as you would pay in the United States or in any other Western country. So once you're starting to look at candidates and you think about interviewing them, what should you be looking at? Well, for me, my criteria, I want someone with fantastic English, like phenomenal English. If they're going to be making phone calls on my behalf, if they're going to be helping me draft emails, that's just a must. So somebody with fantastic spoken and written English, a past EA experience is a huge plus. And another big plus is time in the United States and Western countries. The woman I'm working with, she spent years in Boston as a au pair, and also she worked at an embassy in Mexico. So the U.S. Embassy in Mexico. And so she knows, she lived here. She's had a lot of interactions with Americans. And so she understands the culture well. And I just find that that's also a great potential, you know, boon for them if they've had experience living in your country or the United States. So as you're screening, what do you look for? Well, it took me a couple times to find the right EA. The first EA that I hired, very nice woman. But after a couple of weeks, I got the sense things weren't maybe going as well as I had hoped. And I asked her one day out of the blue, I was just like, hey, help me understand your organizational style, because things were getting forgotten, things were getting left out. And without missing a beat, she said, you know, I have to use sticky notes for everything. They're on my computer, they're in my bathroom, they're in my bedroom, they're everywhere. If I don't write things down on a sticky note, I will not remember them. And it can't be on a computer, it has to be a sticky note. And I knew immediately, okay, this is not going to work. So just ask people about their organizational style. Hospitality is another big thing. One big question I love to ask, I've asked this in roles for ECF, but I think it's particularly important for an executive assistant role, is tell me about a time in the last, you know, month or two where you did something just extra special for someone else to make them feel seen, valued, or appreciated. Because a great executive assistant is going to thrive and love helping people and getting gifts for people and serving people. That's just a huge part of the role. And you want someone who isn't just going to do that, but gets lit up by doing that and excited by doing that. And so asking that question, you can get a sense of, is this something that somebody does regularly for that? And you can hear in their voice if it's something that really gets them, you know, is fulfilling for them. Finally, personality testing. So I use kind of a variation of something called DISC for personality testing. And I should have done this with my first hire. I didn't. I did it. I had her take the test kind of halfway through. But then I compared it to my second hire, the woman I'm working with, and ended up being a great fit. And I looked for, it's going to vary across different personalities, but you want to look for detail-oriented focus and aptitude and strength. And for DISC, that is the C part of the DISC profile. And so for my first candidate, it was pretty low. It was, you know, it was a 30 out of 100. Not bottom, but not great. And then when I hired for my second candidate I screened before I hired her, and she was off the charts over, you know, I think 98% on the detail-oriented side of things. So like I mentioned about hospitality earlier and kind of service, the DISC profile, or at least the Intermetrics DISC profile, also has one that's based on, it's called Altruist. And it's kind of potentially, it ties into, you know, service-based to some degree. My EA that did not work out had a kind of an average, maybe slightly above average score of 58. But the woman who ended up being a great fit and I'm working with today was 83. So those are the two things I would really screen for: hospitality, organization, and attention to detail. So as you're going through this, once you finally get someone that you want to bring on, or a couple people you want to bring on, definitely give them a work project. And if you are in the e-commerce fuel private community, I will share a link. If you go to ecommercefuel.com/EA1, that's the number one, so EA1, it will take you to the link in the community where I'm going to share my entire work project here. So you can see exactly how this, you know, you can just copy and paste it with a few tweaks. And one thing I have found is that delegating, when you're creating this work project, but even more so as you're bringing an EA into your life, it really helps you, it makes you get clear on how to make decisions, because you can't delegate if you don't have good clarity around when am I going to take meetings? What type of people do I want to schedule with? What types of people are, you know, are opportunities are a fit or not a fit? So it helps you have to get crystal clear on, you know, with the clarity of your decisions and also the frameworks with which you run your business and your life. So as you're getting ready for this work project to give to this hire, you need to create rules for how you schedule appointments, how you respond to emails, how you pay for things, kind of a basic operating system for how your brain works. And you're going to do this in much more detail when you actually bring someone on, but you want to do it at least at a high level for this project, because you're going to take those rules and then you're going to give them a work test, and you're going to ask them to reply to some mock emails. You're going to give them 3 or 4 emails and ask them to reply to them. You're going to ask them to schedule mock appointments after looking at a couple of screenshots of your calendar. You're going to ask them to create an SOP from a screencast that you give, because it gives you a sense of how well they listen, how well they can take in information, synthesize it, and then recreate it. And you're going to ask them to organize an offsite event for you and your team. And these are such, these 4 things give you such detail into how the person writes, how well they follow your rules. It's a very effective screening test. It doesn't take that much time. And the offsite one, I think, is the EA ended up hiring. She knocked it out of the park on the offsite, and that was what helped me decide to hire her. And when she actually did plan an offsite for the ECF team for, I think, 4 or 5 of us in Dallas earlier this year, and it went phenomenally well. So anyway, again, check out ecommercefuel.com/EA and the number 1 if you're in the private community. And you'll get a link to the entire work project and all the specs and all the exactly how I put it together, which you can use as a template. So onboarding, how do you think about bringing this person in once you have them? A few things: use something like 1Password or LastPass. I strongly recommend 1Password. It's just exponentially better in my opinion. You want to have a YubiKey or a hardware key of some type. So I have given my EA that you, because you're going to be logging in potentially to your Gmail accounts, to bank accounts as separate, probably not bank accounts without, you know, just unfettered access, but they're going to get a lot of sensitive information and have a lot of sensitive credentials. And even if they're a phenomenally trustworthy person, if their laptop gets stolen, if it gets compromised, if somebody comes in, you want to be able to limit the spread of access. So get a YubiKey. I would recommend not giving full bank access to an EA unless you've been working together for 10 years. And even then, I would be careful about that. So have a separate email for your very critical accounts, including critical amount accounts that can be reset with a password. Because I think for an EA to work well, they need to have full access to your email. So maybe leave the bank account access and register stock, you know, accounts, things like that, to a different email. So that's security. And then day one, when your EA comes in, it is a meaningful amount of work if you have never done this before. Like I said, I can't stress this enough. A, it's a meaningful amount of work. And B, there's no way your EA is going to be able to help you unless you think deeply through this. But on day one, you need to have how-to guides on how to handle your email, how to schedule appointments, how to pay for things, your travel preferences, lists of key people. Those are just 5 of many things, but those are the 5 I would have on day one out of the gates for your executive assistant. And be really detailed about this. It's almost impossible to over-communicate to an assistant about how you want things done. So for example, when I was thinking about, and when I listed out my flight preferences, I talked about my favorite airlines. I talked about how much more I would pay for Delta versus Southwest versus American. I talked about always preferring a window seat, when I would upgrade to Economy Plus, how much more I'm willing to pay flight times, not to buy flight insurance. I don't check a bag. And that's probably about a third of the details that I provided. You want to be crazy detailed with the information that you give. A great way, and I stole this from Buy Back Your Time. It's a book by Dan Martell. I'd highly recommend it on bringing and hiring an executive assistant. I tweaked this a little bit, but the principle comes from him. One of the best ways to get to delegate is to, the first time you have to delegate something, take a screencast of it and then send it to your executive assistant. They can watch you do it, and then they can use that screencast, save it, and also create a written SOP for it. Very effective. And I would take that one step further. I would create a screencast, and then I would get the transcript from that screencast. If you use something like Loom, it should automatically create a transcript for you. And then I would feed that in to ChatGPT, the transcript, and say, create a high-level SOP for me based on the steps that you hear me talking about in the screencast. It won't be perfect. It will get you 80% of the way there. And so with only you doing the task and hitting record, you have a video version, you have a written version, and now you have someone who can do that for you in the future. It works really great. Check-ins. How often should you be connecting with your assistant? How often do I connect with them? Starting out, I think for the first probably 2 to 4 weeks, you should be talking 30 to 45 minutes per day. There's going to be a lot to cover, a lot to discuss. And then scale that back to 3 times per week and then maybe even 2 or 1 times a week as you get really good and dialed in. But just like any role, the more time you invest in this up front, it's going to pay huge, huge dividends. Hey, Andrew here, the quick sidebar. I want to introduce you to Brett, who's the owner of microfiberwholesale.com. He's been a part of e-commerce fuel since the very beginning, one of the OGs, and a really cool guy. He has an avocado farm, travels in a van with his family, and just great guy. And here's what he has to say about his experience with e-commerce fuel, our private vetted community for 7 and 8-figure owners.
Yeah, the membership area that's most valuable to me is just the forum. And I spend an inordinate amount of time reading the forum and trying to make sure I don't miss anything. And back when I joined almost 10 years ago, I remember my wife was pregnant with our third kid, and she was maybe 8 months pregnant when I got into the forum. And I remember coming home that first day and saying like something like, hey, you're not going to see me for a while, because I'd gotten into the forum and seen how much value there is in there and realized how many things I'm not doing that I should be doing in my e-commerce business. I was like overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much stuff I need to do. And it's not the right thing to say to your wife when she's 8 months pregnant. But that really hasn't changed. I mean, I still get tons of value out of the forum, out of people asking questions and posting, not hacks, but strategies they're using, and just bringing things to my attention that I totally wasn't aware of in the world of e-commerce. It's been incredibly valuable for that.
After hearing literally hundreds of comments like this over the last decade our community's been around, it's easy to offer our 10x guarantee. If you don't get at least a 10x ROI on your membership in the first year, in terms of increased revenue, saved time, and saved money, we'll give you a full refund plus an extra $1,000. But many of our members report seeing massive value in just the first month or two when applying it to their 7 or 8-figure business. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Okay, back to the show. So let's talk about probably the thorniest, hardest thing to outsource from an executive assistant perspective, and that is email. This is the thing that scared me the most, because I'm particular how I write, I'm particular how I address people. We've all got that email from somebody who said, hey, if my grandma reaches out to me or my, you know, my mother reaches out to me, I don't want my executive assistant responding on my behalf. You know, like you want an executive assistant, but you don't want to kill the humanity, especially with the people that are close and important to you. So how do you do that? So here are some of my rules, my email rules. Rule number one, I always click send. And by always, I mean 99% of the time. If it's something very basic, like I need to approve an address or something. If somebody writes an email to me, asks if this is my address, my EA may respond to my, as me saying, that's the correct address, thanks. But if it is anything, has any level of intimacy or connection, or is just, you know, apart from validating raw data, I always click send. I love, and it's very helpful to have my EA draft emails up for me. So she can go in, she can see things, she can draft up a couple sentence reply, sometimes three or four sentences, and I can look at that. And then often I'll make a couple of tiny edits and then change that. One thing I'll do too is when I make those changes or tweaks, I will screencast that and show that to her. And I'll say, hey, great draft for me, but I'm going to tweak this a little bit. Here's why I need to change this. So she can learn my style and my voice. And of course, using pre-saved replies a lot. I use Superhuman, love Superhuman, a big fan of it. And it has a fantastic snippet section where you can save pre-saved replies. And then those are just perfect. You wrote it. You just need someone to apply that, your EA to apply that to the right emails. So I have, and again, I stole this from Dan Martell's book, The Buy Back Your Time. But the way I deal with my email is in Superhuman, I have a handful of tabs across the top. Everything comes into my email inbox into this important tab, important or other. Superhuman will kind of filter. It will take most things and put them in other, especially if they're bulk send. And then anything unique that it thinks is important, it will put into the important tab. And so most of the things that aren't junk mail come into important. And then the other tabs I have are Andrew, my team, community, EA, and discuss. So two or three times a day, my EA will come in. And anything that only I can handle or I need to deal with personally, she'll move into my Andrew tab. Anything from my team goes to my team. Community will go into the community tab. Those are, you know, things going on in the forums because I really try to prioritize our community. And then there's an EA tab where she will move anything that she's taken care of and just hasn't gotten yet over to her EA tab. And then a discuss tab. So even just the decrease in work and the increase in available bandwidth that has been created from having all of the spam email filtered out. I never have to see it. I don't have to delete it. I don't log in and have half of my emails important. Half of them are, you know, people trying to pitch me on their marketing agency. That alone has been massively valuable. But then to be able to have all of the invoices that get paid automatically, basic requests for addresses or things that I deal with a lot, just disappear. My inbox workload has gone down by, I would guess, 75 to 80%. And it increases to get even more effective as my assistant learns more and more about the kind of things that we're doing. All right, three basic rules for using a calendar and your assistant and being productive. One, have your EA own it. Have them be able to put everything on your calendar, take everything off, move everything around. If you're mucking around in there and they don't know what's going on, then that messes them up. So try to let as much as possible your assistant manage your calendar. Secondly, create scheduling blocks. It is so freeing to be able to, when I want to schedule a meeting with someone or respond to an email, just be able to say to my assistant, hey, can you help us find some time? It makes me get through emails so much more quickly, reduces the cognitive load on my brain, even if it's little of trying to find a good time. But to do that well, you have to create scheduling blocks and some scheduling rules for when you want to meet. So I have certain days that I have for meetings. I try to ask my assistant to suggest times that match up and kind of go either before or after other meetings. So, you know, you have two or three in a row so you can be effective and efficient. But also with instructions on providing flexibility if it doesn't work for the person or if I'm asking for the meeting. Like if I'm asking for someone's time, I think it's very important that I'm the flexible one. And then finally, just be tactful about how you do it. I think that kind of goes back to being flexible and thinking about, you know, if you're asking for someone's time, like I said before, but let your EA own it, create scheduling blocks and rules, and make sure you're tactful with your calendar. So anytime that you're bringing someone in to help you run your life, you are going to have some roadblocks, especially if your assistant has some initiative, which you want, there's going to be some things they do that are probably going to be problematic. So for example, as a part of this onboarding process, I had my assistant who's helping me get a gift for somebody, send to a female kind of colleague in the e-commerce space, a book titled Friends with Benefits. And she sent this before I could kind of approve it and nix it, or before I, you know, was able to really to know what was happening. Anyway, it was obviously not something I would have sent. And, you know, I sent an email, we explained it, like there was no harm that came out of it. But the point is, the things she has done have 100-to-1 been positive to negative. And you have to expect there's going to be some road bumps, there's going to be some problems along the way. So just keep that in mind that you're going to have them. You're looking for people that are 90% good and get better every day, but not perfect. Because if you expect perfection in this, there's a huge learning curve to learning how to run someone else's life. So the last tool I want to leave you with and tip is, the more you can reduce friction in the way you're able to interact with and communicate and delegate to your EA, the better. There's a wonderful tool, one of my favorite tools. I use it so much, I've got it on the bottom kind of dock of my phone. It's called Voxer. I got to give Rob Walling credit for this. He introduced me to it. And it's almost like it turns your smartphone into a push-to-talk walkie-talkie. I press the app, I press the button and hold it down, and I can send a voice message and it pops up, or a voice memo, and it just immediately pops up on my assistant's screen. And so if I have something in my brain, something I want to get off, I want to offload or communicate, I don't have to pick up my phone and type, hammer out an email or a text. I can just talk. And for me, talking is the easiest way to communicate. And so it's just incredibly helpful. So I would strongly recommend Voxer, or if not Voxer, figure out the way you can absolutely cut to the bare bones the friction involved with getting things out of your brain and onto your assistant's to-do list. So those are the big things and lessons I've learned from bringing on an assistant, hiring them, working with them. Spent about 5 months now, which isn't that long, but already, like I said, it's just been totally transformative to how much stuff. And I would say it saves me at least 15 hours a week, maybe more. And I'm just able to get a ton more done. And I enjoy my work more because I'm not doing basic, I'm able to focus on the things that are important to me and that only I can do. And as a result, I enjoy my work significantly more. So I think takeaways from this: one, value your time. If you are listening to this, and absolutely if you have a 7-figure plus business, this should be one of the hires that you make a huge priority. I wish I would have done this 7 to 10 years ago. It would have paid for itself 10 to probably 50 times over. Hire and screen well. Be crystal clear with your expectations and your rules and your frameworks. Share everything with your EA securely, of course, but they need full access to be effective. And again, start now. I really wish I'd done this a decade ago. A few resources. I've mentioned it a few times, but Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. Fantastic book. There's a book by Michael Hyatt called Your World-Class Assistant. This one was a little less influential on me, but still some really great tips in here on working with an assistant. And again, if you're in the community, ecommercefuel.com/EA, and then the number 1, it will link you over to the discussion and the resources for this tool. So that's it. Hope this is helpful. Hope you're able to find, hire someone that's able to transform your life and your business like this. It's just been a huge game changer for me. Hope it is for you, and hope you find this helpful. That's going to do it for this week. A big thank you to OneClick Upsell, who offers incredible upsell software to get more from every single customer and increase your average order value on your site. To make more money from the customers you already have, check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. And if you own a 7 or 8-figure store, you really should be a part of our private community and forums here at eCommerce Fuel, where you can connect with over 1,200 store owners just like you. We're so confident it'll be a game changer that we offer a 10x ROI guarantee. If you don't see 10x your membership value in the first year, we'll refund you 100% of your membership fees plus toss in an extra $1,000 for the hassle. So you can learn more and apply at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and look forward to seeing you again next Friday.